And so now we're ready to go. So if everyone would please join me in an opening prayer. Appreciate it. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to gather together today as friends and family at Deer Springs Ranch. We pray that your Spirit would guide our hearts, guide our minds, lead us in the right direction as we discuss issues and make decisions on behalf of all of the members of the ranch. We thank you, Lord, for the precious gift of life, for how wonderful it is, and we recognize the fact that our time here is so short. Please give us the grace to love others, have compassion for others, and always seek to give more than we receive. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so a couple of house rules. We're going to be discussing a variety of different topics throughout the meeting. And we, as always, we love to have participation from anybody that has comments or suggestions on anything that we're talking about, whether that's, you know, Joe's financial report or Kurt's report on things going on at the ranch or anything else. But in order to have an accurate recording for the future, we only have one microphone, and it's this little square device sitting on the table here. So this is our microphone. So as we are discussing anything, if you have any comments or suggestions, I would ask that you wait until the end of that conversation or discussion, and we'll ask for input or questions. If you have any comments or any questions, please come on up to the front and just stand in front of the microphone so that we'll be able to capture the information accurately. And before asking a question or making a statement, please give us your name and lot number. And before we continue, we do want to have a roll call. And so let's start over on this side and just announce your name and lot number, please.
So my name is Kate Hoff, and I'm purchasing lot 83. I haven't closed on it yet, but hopefully this month.
Fantastic. Well, welcome to the ranch.
Welcome, Kate.
Jeff Nicholson, lot 113.
Thank you, Jeff.
Dan Wirt, 30, lot 30 plus.
30 lots.
Plus. Thank you, Dan.
Hi, Ever. Lot 3.
Welcome.
Tree Tobler, 23.
Welcome.
Karen Fry, 13.
Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Mike and Teresa Jordison, lot 67.
Mark Weary, lot 230.
Hey, Mark.
Scott Hill, 182.
Kevin and Cindy Pruel, lot 64.
Ryan and Catherine Castle, 130.
Jeff and Tina Collins, 121.
Welcome.
Gary and Renee Van Arsdale, 19 and 59.
Dave Ritter, 129, 288, and 289.
Welcome to all of you. Thank you for taking the time to come to the ranch. And?
On Zoom, we have Joan Smith, Vance Green, I believe Gary and Ann Clark, Bruce McQueen, May Woolsey, and an unidentified iPhone I'm trying to identify.
Okay. Fantastic.
Gary, not sure.
Do we also have phone call-ins, or is it just the Zoom?
Well, phones would show up on my Zoom screen as well.
Okay, got it.
Summer Zoom. Yep.
Okay, got it. All right, well, our first order of business is presentation and approval of our meeting minutes from last month, so I'll turn it over to Cindy.
I sent out the meeting minutes to the board members and did not receive any corrections. Therefore, I move we accept the minutes as presented.
I second it.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Meeting minutes have been adopted. Next, we're going to turn it over to Jennifer for our office report.
You want to do finance with Joe first?
Sure. We'll do, instead of turning it over to Jennifer, we'll do a treasurer report with Joe Bosley. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, I normally have a printed agenda, but I tried to print it last night on my lot, and I couldn't print it out, so I'm going off of my phone, which is kind of hard to see. Thank you for sharing.
Okay, in checking, we got 148,686. In savings, we got 61,244. In the special savings, we got 4,270. That's out of the bank. As far as the dues, we got 95% of our dues are collected, and we got 74% of our income from our rentals looking good. Automotive, we're in the hole. We're spending more on the older vehicles. So obviously, they're older. That's why. Heavy equipment, same thing. Spending more than we're using. Other than that, we're in pretty good shape. Everything is too early to do much yet on this part of the year. So that's all I've got.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. Anybody have any questions for Joe regarding the financing or treasurer report?
Jeff Mickelson, 115.
Come on up, Jeff.
And Pepper.
Come on, Pepper.
Well, I'm not picking on you, Joe. I just had some questions. This report that was sent out is the actuals for January through December of 2022, so year-to-date, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It shows we have a negative donations of -199. How do we have negative donations? Does the ranch give something to somebody else?
I can actually answer that one. We donated to an auction for the Utah Horsemen's Association, and that is a one-week cabin stay in the garden cabin the last week in June that we donated to that cause.
Thank you.
Yep.
There was another question I had, but that was the biggest one that just jumped out at me. Negative value of the donation.
That is an excellent question.
Thanks for paying attention.
Okay, thank you for that. Any other questions for Joe or Jennifer? All right.
She's depending on her granddaughter giving her a ride down, waiting for the warmer sun to heat up the area on the ATV.
All right. Thank you, Joe. All right. So now we will turn it over to Jennifer for our office report.
Okay. Coming up by the microphone. New members. We have two new members as of April. There are 10 pending, 11 pending in May, because Kate is not on my list yet. Congratulations. So again, lots of new people coming into the ranch.
Two just closed yesterday.
Yep, I know that.
Okay,
I haven't been recorded though.
Okay, yeah.
So I go by what I can see on the county website, and three lots for sale. Cabins, I think everyone here got the email. If you're not getting the emails, do let me know. I just wanted to go over our booking rate real quickly. For May, of the 219 nights available, 126 are booked. That's a 56% booking rate. For June, 300 nights available, 191 are booked. That's a 64% booking rate. July, 310 nights available, 176 booked, 57% booking rate. August, 310 nights available, only 85 booked. That's a 27% booking rate. September, 300 nights available, 31 booked, 10% booking rate. October, 220 nights available, 32 booked, 15% booking rate. Obviously, the big, busy, popular weeks and weekends get reserved well in advance, but there's still plenty of cabin time. Let's see. Assessments. We have 14 still outstanding. Of the 14 outstanding and unpaid, two of those lots are for sale, so we should be able to collect those in escrow. And unfortunately, we have three that are most likely going to need some more conversation because they have 2 years that are unpaid at this point in time. And that's all I have if there's no questions.
Thank you, Jennifer. Anybody have any questions for Jennifer on what's going on at the office or cabin reservations, anything along those lines? Okay, so thank you, Jennifer. And now we're moving on to Mr. Kurt Jacobson for the property management report. And welcome, Brent. And where's Jennifer?
Cut that left. She's invisible.
She's right there.
Can't you see her?
Put on her invisibility stuff when you showed up.
Well, we need two. We need three stencils made. Jennifer, we need three stencils made. One for the windshield. Kurt, turn off the battery. One for the middle of the door on the inside. Kurt, turn off the battery. And one for on the outside of the door when he closes it. Kurt, turn off the battery.
Where's Scott when I need him?
How about if I tattoo it on my forehead?
Exactly. You can't see it.
All right. Well, with that glowing introduction, take it away, Kurt.
All right, so we got the dump truck going.
Brent got the dump truck going.
Well, it's a weekend. I break it, he fixes it. Been working on cabin four. It's almost done, waiting on cabinets, and then next Thursday I'll get some more trim. We put in a spiral staircase. Collins has put in a beautiful floor. Cabin four, you won't even recognize it. Beautiful. On the inside when it opens up. It's all pretty pretty neat looking now. Wait, where'd my notes go?
I didn't realize that
we died. While he's looking for his notes, let's say thank you to Jeff and Tina for doing the floor.
No, there's quite a few, I must say.
That's anyhow, I've been working a lot on maintenance, just getting cabins open. It's a real busy time of year. We're booking up this weekend. I think we have 1, 2, and 3 booked this weekend, and it's just been watering grass and maintenance this spring. This summer, after the cabins get all opened up and everything's finished, then I'm going to be working a lot on the fences and stuff around headquarters and beautifying headquarters this year. So about all I got.
Kurt, you want to give us an update on the store?
The store, what was that, an update? Ice creams, sodas, waters. I have jug water this year. I have T-shirts, hats. We have kids' hats this year. We have more stuff coming. I'm going to be building a center aisle in the store, and we'll be stocking more regular grocery items like canned chili, paper towels, stuff like that that people might forget to bring up with them. And we're continuing to work on adding more to that. We have toothbrushes. Anybody forget their toothbrush? So, yes, that's continuing on.
Fantastic. Thank you for doing that. Anybody have any questions?
Wonderful bath bombs and shaving lotion, a beard balm, and all that kind of stuff. That's in there also.
An amazing lip balm.
An amazing lip balm and cuticle balm and rose water rehydrator. And, I know about all that stuff. Yes, sir.
Can I remind you to turn off the battery in the dump truck?
Okay.
And Kurt, I will say for Kurt on his behalf, he has said before many times that if anyone has any suggestions on things that we should be stocking in the store, to let him know.
Yeah, I will be glad to stock anything in the store anybody needs. I have a bunch of little tackle boxes. They're empty, and they're in the store. I'm going to put them out for everybody, and those will be free. We had those for fishing derbies that never really took off, but if you have kids or something that want a little tackle box, we have those in there and a few treats.
I think we ought to sell bumper stickers. Kurt, turn off the battery.
I know, right? Well, that's for sure. Just to piss them off.
Okay. So, does anyone have any questions for Kurt about anything going on around headquarters? Say again?
J Station.
Well, I'm going to go to St. George, and I'm going to have to pick up the valve. They're looking for it. Nobody has anything in stock anywhere. But what we need is a 4-inch gate valve that's going to clamp on to the PVC pipe. And as soon as that, as soon as I can get the fitting, then we'll have that J station operational.
So thank you for asking the question, Gene. I didn't even know it wasn't operation.
Yeah, it was, then it wasn't, then it was, and then it wasn't.
Wow.
We're playing tennis this year.
And, Kurt, what's the anticipated time frame for getting it back online?
Well, hopefully I'll talk to Christian this week, and he'll have it figured out. And we'll get it going this week.
Any word on the grader?
No word on the grader. I know he hasn't even looked at it yet because it's in the exact same position it was when it was delivered. So everybody in this country is just having trouble finding help, and so everybody's buried. And yes, Tina?
Brush hogging.
Brush hogging. As soon as I get the tractor rolling, that's when after I get all the cabins down, I'll take a day and I'll hit that Broad Hollow.
And nobody mentioned it, but since the J station's down, the hose still works, so it's going to be slow going if you have a big tote for your water, but you can still come down and get water.
And it's really hard if you have a flat tire. Frank got it yesterday.
That's one of those stories where I guess you had to be there to,
you had to know. Be there, but
yeah.
Everybody got a kick out of it anyhow.
I think it was her reaction.
All right. Well, thank you, Kurt. Appreciate that. Next item on our agenda is a gravel pit upgrades and activities. There's been a lot of information being shared on the Deer Springs Ranch owner's Facebook page. So anybody that uses Facebook and accesses that page probably is up to date on everything, but not everyone uses Facebook, including me. So I just wanted to take a minute to let everybody know, all those that are who are here and who are also participating online, there is currently a lot of work that has already been done at the gravel pit and is continuing to be done and planned to be done for the future. Kathy's son, Brad Pierce, has come out with a lot of heavy construction equipment and basically tore down that great big dangerous hill that used to be there, so it's now much more safe. Created huge piles of gravel. There are three different kinds of gravel, unscreened, screened, and then crushed. So there's that, when you say, I want some gravel, it's not just I want gravel, but you got to choose. You want unscreened, you want screened, or you want crushed. And obviously, the more work you put into a product, the more it's going to cost. And so Brad has volunteered to come out and do all the work. He's getting paid for it, obviously, so he's not volunteering his time for free. He's getting compensated. But it's a lot of work for very little compensation compared to other things that he might be doing. So in a very real way, he is contributing to help the ranch. And so he's using his heavy equipment to improve the gravel pit area overall, and to create, you know, huge amounts of gravel available to Deer Springs Ranch owners. He already has orders for about 300 tons of gravel. That's huge. He's bringing out his own equipment. He has, you know, dump trucks and, you know, all the rest of the stuff that goes with it. So he's preparing everything. But he's not going to be able to deliver to everybody that wants gravel. You know, he will, I'm sure, he already has agreements with certain owners who want large quantities, and they've already made arrangements directly with Brad. You know, if you want 50 tons, you know, you're going to have to make some preparations in advance, obviously. So I just want to let everybody know that that is in process. Brad is going to be out here on Memorial Day weekend, and he's doing a lot of work in preparation for that. But just to let everybody know, if you're interested in purchasing gravel and having it delivered to your lot, that is an option. And you need to contact Brad Pierce, and Kathy can give you information. If If you're on the Facebook page, then you already have the information. If not, then you can get it from Kathy. Correct, Kathy?
Yep.
Okay. Right. And, again, really the only thing I wanted to say today is that, you know, there are things going on. And if you're not aware of it and you are interested in getting access to some gravel for your lot, whether you want to go pick it up yourself or have it delivered, then there are going to be options available to you. So contact Kathy, contact Brad Pierce directly if you have his information to get that set up. And then the other thing I wanted to add is we are going to be creating a diversion road around the actual gravel pit. So we all know that currently when you're going up Meadow Canyon, you're literally driving right through the middle of the gravel pit. It is unsafe. You know, you can't have heavy equipment in there going back and forth. Same time, you got cars driving through. You got ATVs driving through. Very dangerous situation. So when Brad is up here, and Larry Clarkson has also been involved with this in terms of the planning and preparation, we're going to be creating a diversion road to actually go around the gravel pit. So in the future, if you're going up Meadow Canyon Road, you're no longer going to have to drive through the middle of an active gravel pit. Instead, there will be a diversion road to go around it, and then the gravel pit itself will be segregated. You know, so there will be, we don't know all the details yet, but basically the plan is to have some kind of fencing, you know, because there do need to be some controls to keep people away from heavy equipment, keep people from just going in there and, you know, filling up a dump truck full of gravel without paying for it. You know, so there will be some controls in place in the future, but essentially the goal is to get the gravel pit to the point where it provides the gravel that everybody needs and wants. And at the same time, make it a much safer area for all of the traffic that's going through. Doesn't want to have anything to do with a gravel pit.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
Larry just sent a diagram of the temporary bypass that he has asked Brad to do.
Oh,
so
cool.
We'll add that to the minutes. He just sent me an image of it.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. Fantastic.
Right.
Okay. So really, that's all I wanted to share on the gravel pit. Does anybody have any questions that we can address?
Was it any of... concern about it being Memorial Weekend, like that opening weekend for cabins. It's going to be the busiest weekend ever.
Well, Brad Pierce is the one who scheduled it. I had nothing to do with that.
I think part of Brad's thinking on that was it would be a good weekend because there's more people up here and they can.
I think he had requests for that weekend.
Yeah.
But he'll be coming Thursday and leaving Monday. He's not going to be working Sunday. But he will be here during those 4 days. So just so you're aware. And then if you're going to be hauling your own gravel, you'll fill up your dump truck or your dump trailer to make it easy for people. So just that option.
Since you mentioned it, all the cabins are currently open except for 4, which is, as you know, still being worked on, and 10, which I'll be opening today. So
9.
Yes, 9. Sorry. I'm not going to come back. 9.
All right. So, any more questions? Thank you. Any more questions about the gravel pit? No.
Will the diagram be available for everybody?
Yeah, it'll be in the minutes.
I can send it out. Absolutely. Remember the email? Is that what you want me to do?
Is that? Yeah, I think it's probably a good idea.
Yeah, I can send it out to members of the email if you want to see it right now. I got it on my phone.
I just send it out.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right, moving on. We are up to item number 7 on our agenda. A brief report of areas of responsibility by each board member, 2 to 3 minutes each. But as usual, I'm going to take more than 2 to 3 minutes. But, hey, I'm the president.
You can have mine.
So, and really the main reason I wanted to take a little bit more time is just to follow up on things that we've talked about in the past. But this is our first meeting of the year from a practical standpoint in person. So I do want to follow up on several things that we've talked about in the past just to give everybody an update. And first is our Deer Springs Ranch signing project. We've talked in the past about the need to have improved signing on the ranch. For a variety of reasons. Number one, traffic signs to limit the speed. You know, we've had problems in the past with people going too fast. Improved signing in terms of danger. Caution, blind corner ahead, that kind of thing. We've literally had front end collisions in the past where people were going too fast and they couldn't stop fast enough and they ran into each other. Road signs, so people know what road they're on. When I first came up here, I'm like, I have no idea if I'm in the right road or not. I didn't have one of those GPS things on my phone at the time to tell me that I was in the right place or not. And then item number four, directional signs. If you want to go to the ponds, it's this way, kind of a thing. So those are kind of the four primary categories, and I am so thankful that we have a ranch owner member volunteer, Mr. Scott Hill. Scott, stand up so everybody can see you. Yay! Scott. So Scott volunteered. Scott actually works for a professional sign company, Yesco. So his actual day job is working on signs. And I'm sure most of them are a lot more sophisticated than we need here at Deer Springs Ranch. Vance Green, who's not with us today, but I think he's on the Zoom call. So, Vance has been working with Scott to put together the footprint, the outline, if you will, that we can start developing. Just like most things today, they're very sophisticated programs online that help you do all this kind of stuff much more efficiently and do a much better job. So Vance and Scott have been working together to put together the template. Scott has volunteered. I know he's going to be taking a lot of his time during his visit with us this weekend to actually drive the roads, see what's here, what isn't here, try to figure things out. Vance, I know, in one of our email exchanges recently, sent an actual picture of a sign project or product that Vance recommends that we use wherever we can afford it and wherever it makes sense. We've all driven through cities and school zones where you have a sign that basically says, speed limit 25, your speed 45, in a lot of people's professional opinion, that is one of the most effective tools to try to help people slow down, especially in critical areas. And Vance said it's a great idea until some redneck blows it away with a shotgun.
Right.
Which is probably fairly accurate.
Yeah.
That would never happen here.
So anyway, Scott, I will turn it over to you. Do you have anything you'd like to say or add or request?
No, I think I don't know how long you guys have been up here, but I don't know the roads at all. Every time we come up, I have him looking at something. So it's going to take, some time today, and then I'll probably need your guys' help with some items. But, I think we should have the signs laid out on the map sometime next week that I can send over for everybody to look at.
Fantastic.
Is it with me after the meeting? I've got a tool that might help you a lot.
Yeah. I think I could use it to help.
Good. more.
Scott, a couple things for you to know. This is Jeff Nicholson. Jeff, this is Scott. Scott, Jeff. Jeff is the one who has a whole bunch of signs in the back of his vehicle that may or may not be able to be used in an appropriate fashion.
The vehicle or the signs?
The vehicle in good condition. Okay.
And you've already seen some information on the old signs and the email exchanges. So, again, they may work, they may not, whatever.
I also, the history about the signs.
Absolutely, yeah.
Joe can tell you more, but when I showed up in 2015, most of the signs were sitting in this tractor shed. And I asked if I could take them out and start putting them up. So that's what I did. And what I have left is the remnant. But prior to that, the roads were all named, but nobody had signs up. So I've been on all the roads more than once, all 100 miles of them. And I can tell you where the signs are. I have the ones I have left are ones that are just really small sections I haven't put up yet.
Okay.
Because they're scattered all over the ranch.
Okay, I'll get to you.
The other thing I want to add to that is, and Jeff just mentioned it, we have over 100 miles of roads. And most of us are very familiar with the roads that go to our place and go back out again. and have no clue about things that are happening, you know, 20 miles away in a different part of the ranch. So part of this whole project is to get member volunteer support. And in my opinion, that really falls into two categories. First category is, what do we need? So if you know that we need something in your area, you know, there's a blind corner, you know, there's a sharp drop off, there's a whatever, if there's any kind of informational sign that we should be placing in a particular area, please communicate that to somebody so we can include that as part of the project. And then the second part of that is member volunteers, because right now we're doing all the planning, and then eventually we're going to have signs made, and then ultimately we're going to have signs installed. And that's going to require a lot of physical, manual labor. You know, I don't know if it's going to mean digging post holes, if it's going to mean just, you know, attaching one thing to something else, whatever. But we're looking to have as many volunteers from each, you know, different part of the ranch as possible to kind of, you know, kind of have it be a neighborhood kind of thing. You know, so, you know, the folks in Lower Slide Canyon can help out with signs there. Upper Slide Canyon can help there. You know, Crawford can help in your area, Podunk, et cetera, et cetera. So just be aware that that's kind of the thought process, is to have the ranch as a whole take responsibility for developing the plan and saying what's necessary and how's it all going to work, and then having members participate to actually implement the end result. Okay, make sense? Any questions? And again, thank you, Scott Hill.
Yeah.
Okay, next item. Kane County Wildfire Prevention. We've talked about that in the past. That is still going to be done, hasn't been done yet. I sent out a message a while back saying that we've basically, well, not we, they have postponed it into this year. So we're still waiting to get definitive dates. But for those of you who are not aware of it, the ranch is going to benefit from literally hundreds of thousands of dollars of time and equipment and effort that's going to be invested by Kane County, tax dollars that will be implemented here on the ranch. So we all benefit, obviously, from hundreds of thousands of dollars that other folks are contributing.
What will they do?
They're going to be clearing brush alongside the roads. They're going to be clearing trees. They're going to be opening up the access. Essentially, what it boils down to is, if there ever is a wildfire in this area, the Kane County Wildfire, you know, Prevention Services is designed to make it easy for them to get in and access all of the necessary roads. There could be road widening involved so that, you know, basically when they come in, they have easy access to get to the places where they need to be to fight the wildfire. So in order to do that, they're clearing brush on the sides of the roads. They're getting rid of old dead wood that, you know, old dead trees that are adjacent to the road that are just fuel for any potential fire, and then thinning out the existing trees to the point where they are, you know, basically meet the county standards for what it should be, what it should look like, to maintain nice, clean, green foliage on the sides of the roads, but eliminate all of the old dead brush and trash that would just simply add fuel to a fire. Good question.
So if you drive up to the Crawford Pass Trailhead, you can see a ton of work that's been done. Is that Forest Service or
that's
is that
the
Kane?
They've completed the work on the Dixie side of the fence, and now they have until October to come do the work that Mike is talking about. They have until October 31st. So
is that the Forest Service that's done?
That's the Forest Service that's done the other side, and Norris Church has a contract for this side, the widening of the road, thinning of the trees, and that kind of stuff. And it's going to be done in the fashion of what they call glumping, where they thin out the trees, but they leave clusters, so there's some eye appeals to it. So you'll have open areas where grasses can grow and clumps of trees. And it's basically what they said, that if they had a stage of fire fight here, they'd have a losing battle because they don't have anywhere to park or put equipment. So spreading that from the lower pond 3 up to the back gate and then over towards 164.
Do they have a plan for the slash?
No. They're not leaving any slash on our side, to my knowledge. It's all going to be ground up. A lot of the work, there's going to be some handwork done and some work done with the machine grinders. And they were using machine grinders on the other side of the fence also. But any slash is usually burned after the first snow in November. That's what they say.
Is it up to them to burn it?
Yes, it's up to them. No, it's their job.
Are they going to be as cautious with the burnt piles on Deer Springs Ranch as they were with the present wildfire that is now 9 miles north and whatever of the ranch that they started?
Hopefully not. I don't know. They're going to be.
So you're saying they started that fire?
Yeah.
It's online.
Wow.
Yeah. Mandy? Oh, I'm sorry.
Rainbow Point. If the homeowners want to take some of that dead tree, which they're numerous, at the ranch, where can we bring our trash or slash? Can we still put it down at the slash pile, or what is your suggestion?
Okay, well, technically there is not a slash pile. There is a slash pile, but that before my time. At one time, we had mattresses and everything mingled in there, and we had to pull all those out of there.
I'm just talking about dead trees.
I know. To my knowledge, we don't have a place to take dead trees and brush right now. The Collinses, I know they ground all theirs up, or most of it. And, I mean, they cut right down into twigs for firewood, so they were concerned about that, but maybe that's something we should.
We have a place to take the slash.
Where?
That marsh. It's over, you know, where that pile is right now. Brian, you can tell them. You've taken plenty of stuff over there.
Probably the biggest limber and trimmer here on the ranch. It's almost an obsession. You know, the fire mitigation, and also you want to clear out the area that so you can use it. And the problem with the slash pile, it's supposed to be burnt during the first snow, but I've been here since 2017, so it's never been burnt, and it just keeps getting bigger. And there was some work done to try to concentrate it because it was getting dispersed with people dumping, and a bunch of it is mixed with rocks and dirt now, and I don't even know if it'll burn. So I think we probably have to look at a solution that's maybe different, that I don't think we're ever going to burn it. If the conditions haven't been right in 5 years, then, you know, almost all the stars have to align to be able to burn it. So I think we should maybe look at something that doesn't involve burning, maybe bury it. Do some landfill. We have a lot of areas that have been eroded, that we've lost ranch land to water erosion, that we can use the brush once it's broken up and compacted to fill it, and then maybe put dirt on top of it And so you're not going to run the risk of starting a fire like the Forest Service did. It's a liability. Because I think we need to give people a way to do fire prevention. We tell them it's important, okay, if we don't have a slash pile, we can take it in town. That's a 100-mile round trip for me. I might as well contact Elon Musk and have, you know, SpaceX shoot it up in the and be about the same price. You know?
Let me just, this is new to me. I mean, and Kurt, where do we currently get firewood that we use for the cabins when people stay in the cabins?
Well, Larry brought me a bunch out here. I've been cutting off of what Larry brought me last 2 years ago.
Is that, I mean, is it an option for people to bring, I mean, the stuff that would potentially be firewood for cabins? Is there a place where we could have people bring?
Yeah, I can go behind the ranch house here. I have a wood pile behind the ranch house where that big horse trailer is.
You got a lot of stuff like scrub oak.
Yeah, scrub oak and stuff, that all needs, I think pushing it into the ravine is a great idea.
Well, I love your idea about preventing erosion. That's a wonderful idea because it's a very real need. So maybe what we need to do is figure out a plan where, you know, the big stuff that could potentially be used for firewood for the cabins, there's a place for that. And then there's a place for the stuff that we could use for erosion prevention.
Well, I looked at the map that Larry sent for the diversionary road around the gravel pit, and it goes right in between, like, the piles of overburden and the slash pile, which is enormous. So I don't know. Maybe we could do some work at that same time and move it and see how that works.
That's a great idea. So. Kurt, can you get with Larry? And I mean, obviously, Larry has a lot of history and knowledge about what we need and don't need. But I think that would be an excellent time to have that be part of a plan to figure out where that stuff can go. So, Candy, thank you for asking the question.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Joe, your wife already.
Since we're talking. Since we're talking about trees, Brent brought it to my attention about 5 years ago that the cedar trees or the junipers have a parasite on them, and it's actually a mistletoe. So I've been telling my son that he better start trimming them off the branches because it will kill the tree. So my son Doug and his wife Tennille went to Star Nursery, and they asked a bunch of questions and showed them some pictures of what the cedar trees look like. Turns out that supposedly the birds poop in the trees and the seeds cause that to grow. And the actual mistletoe gets roots inside the branch and they start going down the branch to the main tree. So if you just cut off the mistletoe, it slows it down, but it doesn't stop it. You have to physically cut the branch off so the roots don't go down into the main tree. So if you got cedar trees that are got a lot of mistletoe, it will die. It will kill the tree. Might take 5 years, but it will kill the tree. And I've got quite a few of them at my place, and I've been trimming them out. But I haven't been cutting back as far as I should have now that Star Nursery said that. So I'm going to start cutting the branches further back, try to save the juniper trees.
How far back?
Didn't get an answer on that. All I know is if you just cut off the mistletoe, I would say go back at least 3 or 4 inches, but that's just my guess. Unless we get someone to give me more of a description of how far, I don't know. They say you can spray it, and it helps, but they say just cut them off the branch and get rid of it because it will kill the tree.
Is there anything that the state of Utah could do? Can you consider this parasitic plant that's attacking the trees here? Can the state of Utah do anything? Should we contact them?
They consider junipers an invasive species.
Well, the other is an invasive species on the...
Of the invasive species.
Yeah.
Manzanita, that's an invasive species.
But it doesn't have any mistletoe on it.
It burns like it.
Yeah, I mean,
Oh, it's not me.
So I have some concerns about telling people to dump branches in a wash.
Come on up. Come on up front. State your name, lot number, and then your comment.
Mike Jordison, lot 67. So just dumping stuff in the wash I think is a bad idea. And I'll give an example. The Wyatt Crawford Canyon. Someone filled that wash full of branches. Well, last year when we had big floods, everybody downstream paid the price for that.
Yeah.
And so if it isn't done, and I don't even know there's an appropriate way to do it. You get a flash flood like that, and it's going to plug every culvert downstream. Mm-hmm. So
it's going to stop somewhere.
What was the price? What happened?
So the Y up there in Crawford Canyon was completely full of branches. And as that flash flood came through, it took all of those branches downstream, and it plugged both culverts further down the road. An overwashed
on Meadow Canyon, and it took the road right out.
Yeah. So there was
was it the water that took the road out, or was it the force of the branches?
It's the water that does it.
The water does the damage. The branches were put there to slow the water down and prevent erosion, but all they did in a flash flood was dam it up, and then once it broke, it drug everything with it. The Y at Crawford Canyon, if you looked at the ring, that water in that Y was 6 feet deep during that flash flood. And I have a 4-foot culvert up my lot, and it was the only one that didn't flood out in Crawford Canyon.
And that got all the way to
and
the
it
top.
Was, yeah, you could that see the ring right, right at the top of all the debris that filled that in. So I'm concerned about saying fill a wash with branches.
Yeah, well, I don't think anybody's saying fill the wash with branches. I think now what we are saying is if we can use whatever people are trying to get rid of to put it in the correct place and do it the right way to prevent erosion, it would be a good thing. And I'm not an expert on it, so I don't know.
Any ravine that's there currently, water runs down it.
Yeah.
That's why it's there.
Well, I'm thinking, like, I know we've had an issue in the past with erosion behind the ranch house where we've lost, 10 lineal feet of what used to be surface ground that's just no longer there. And so that's what I'm kind of thinking about is preventing the loss of, you know, ground area.
If I could say something about that, what he said is very accurate. If any ravine, if you try to just dump stuff in it, water's going to come from upstream and wash it down. By the slash pit, we're very fortunate that we have a gully that begins right there. So that can be reclaimed. So there's nothing upstream because that's the very genesis of it right there. And it can, and there's already brush in there. Some from years ago that people have done, but we can fill it from the very beginning and then cover it with field dirt and actually reclaim that ravine. But so the idea isn't just to put it, you know, in the middle of a ravine that has upstream, you know,
gotcha. Well, I think we have enough space to work with at the ranch so we can figure out a solution.
And the one I think you're talking about is what's causing all of this behind the ranch house.
Oh, okay.
And what he's talking about is different than just going and dumping it in any wash
to
prevent erosion.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants that. Yeah.
And that's my biggest concern is to make sure that that's clear, that it's not an open license to just go dump debris in any wash.
Yeah. I agree 100%. Yep.
And you get everything.
Yep, I agree. Okay, so obviously that's going to take some work and planning, and we need to have all of the critical people involved, and obviously that's Kurt and Larry, and I'm sure there are others that, you know, and anybody that wants to volunteer, we would welcome input and help. Okay, moving on, because I'm already well past 2 to 3 minutes. And this is not a follow-up, this is actually a new item. Jeff is responsible for, as our certified water operator for the ranch, for anybody that doesn't know, we have a state-certified water system for the lower ranch area.
And in order to be state certified, we obviously, the ranch obviously has to meet certain minimum criteria. We have to do things in certain ways. One of the things that Jeff just brought to our attention recently is the fact that the state requires us to have a cross-control connection prevention policy in place. Now, this is something that we've been doing historically just because it's a smart thing to do. Anytime there's a new connection to an existing water system, you want to have devices put in place to prevent backflow so that some new connection doesn't allow bad stuff to get into the main system. So we have always had that as an active policy. It's just never been in writing and formalized. And the state says it must be in writing and formalized in order to be compliant with their requirements. And as a result, Jeff has taken it upon himself to draft that up. We looked at it, we revised it, and we now have a formal Deer Springs Ranch cross-connection control prevention policy for the ranch. It simply confirms the things that we've been doing all along. But it applies to all owners. Now, it will only affect a very small number of owners, because a very small number of owners that will actually ever connect to the ranch water supply. But for anyone who does, we're going to have a policy in place that specifies what needs to be done, how it needs to be done, and if the owner doesn't comply with that, then it's the owner's financial responsibility to fix it. Because we have to protect the integrity of the system that we already have that's state certified. And I just wanted to share this with you because the board just voted today to approve that policy and put it into effect. And the effective date for that new policy is going to be July 1st. So everyone will receive a copy of the formal written policy. You'll be able to read it. And again, it's only going to apply to a handful of people, but all of us as owners need to be aware of what it is, what it says, and, you know, what we're expecting in order to maintain the integrity of our water system. Okay? Any questions on that?
Are the upper ranch cabins part of that lower ranch?
Great question. The answer is no. So we actually have two different water systems. The lower system, which is right here, and the J station is part of that. That's part of the state-approved water system. The upper cabin water system is separate. It's not state-approved. And what I've been told is it probably never will be, simply because it would require so much additional investment in infrastructure and additional requirements to get it state-certified that it probably would not make sense to do that. But we do test that upper cabin water system on a regular basis. So the water tests that we're required to do by the state for the lower cabin system, they're mandated. We must do them in order to maintain our state certification. And, by the way, we just passed the most recent test. So thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Kurt. Thank you, Brent, who are all very actively involved in making sure that our water stays potable. The upper cabin water system, we also test that on a regular basis, but that is classified differently. That's an investigative sample. So we're not required to do it, but we do it because it makes sense. Because if there are any problems, we want to know about them and know about them as quickly as possible. So that's a great question. Thank you for asking. Yeah, it also passed.
Everything passed.
Yeah, the lower system.
How do you feel?
How are you feeling? Okay.
Lower system and upper system both passed just within the last few days. Just so you know. And here's another thing, and I learned this. So we just passed. So people that are staying in the cabins today are going to be drinking that water, and then we're going to test it again next month. Well, what if it doesn't pass next month? When did that problem happen? Maybe it happened today. You know, we don't know. And so I'm only sharing that with you so you understand that, yes, as a ranch, we take the initiative to do everything we can to protect the water supply. But at the same time, all of us as owners, all of us as individuals are responsible for doing whatever we feel is necessary to protect ourselves. I know many of the people who have wells at Deer Springs Ranch still drink bottled water that they bring here. They don't drink the well water necessarily, or they don't drink it without doing something to purify it. So just, again, just to be aware. I know we have a lot of new owners at Deer Springs Ranch, and a lot of people think you just drill a well and drink it. Well, maybe yes, maybe no. So, okay, good question. Any other questions on that? Okay, moving on. Mark your calendars. The trout ponds will be stocked on Monday the 17th.
Tuesday the 17th, sorry.
Okay. Sorry, Tuesday the 17th. So that is this coming Tuesday. Go home and get your fishing gear ready. And another thing regarding the trout ponds, any of you that have been up there know that over the years, the reeds and all of that growth just beyond the banks has gotten worse and worse and worse over the years, to the point where it's now like so far out into the pond you can't even see it. We're going to fix that. Somebody asked me when.
When?
Today! Yay! Today and tomorrow. So we are going to have a piece of equipment delivered up there that will be one of those great big scoops. It's going to dig out, you know, all of that excess reeds, all the excess crap that we don't want around the perimeter of those ponds. And it's perfect timing because guess what? We're going to clean them out today and tomorrow, and the fish are going to be delivered on Tuesday. So just to let everybody know that that's happening.
That's the plan.
Was the beaver ever removed?
The beaver will be removed this afternoon.
What's left of the beaver?
Quite a difference.
And anybody who wants to participate, I'm sure Kurt will be happy to let you
anybody
help.
Anybody do that, you can do it.
That's it.
Thanks for the trap. It's stuck.
Okay, next item. Jennifer, I need you to have a parcel locker update.
Two things on the parcel locker. Number one, it needs to have the keypad installed and the motion sensor lighting installed. We also need to have the liability waiver drawn up for anybody that's going to participate in it. And we just have to confirm that our blanket insurance policy covers the liability of the parcel locker. All in the works. And I, you know, every time I've tossed a date out, I've missed it. So
soon.
Really trying. Really, really trying. I would say by the see, even he's mad.
It's mating season.
Speed. I would say by, let's see, it's May. Let's just say by June 15th. I'll put that one on the books.
We okay. will cross our fingers.
Okay.
Okay.
Decide on a fee yet?
I think the fee was going to be a partial year or a full year annual. And if I have to go back and look in the minutes.
I thought we were going to do it monthly or annually, but I'm not positive.
Which, it was. Yeah. It was going to be monthly or annually, and the monthly was going to be something like $5, so it would be equivalent to, if you were here for the summer, like $30 or $35, and an annual, much like the J Station, like a $50 fee. Yeah. Unlimited packages, and you have your own key code.
Mm-hmm. Okay, my last item. Yay! Just wanted to remind everybody that we do have a town hall meeting planned for next month in July. And the format will be similar to our annual meeting that we have in September, where we'll have the board meeting first in the morning, and then we'll have a break for lunch. Kurt is going to
cook
some delicious main course, and then we'll have a potluck, you know, bring a salad, bring a side, bring a dessert kind of thing like we've done in the past. And then after lunch, and possibly in conjunction with lunch, we'll have a town hall meeting. And really, the intent is for a lot of the new people to be able to come in a live, interactional setting with existing lot owners, have a question and answer session to try to get a lot of information that, you know, all of us as new owners had. Some of you, maybe you had those questions 40 years ago. But even if you've owned your lot for 10 years, you may just now be getting ready to build your cabin. You know, so a lot of people have questions, and obviously things change over time. You know, something that worked 20 years ago may not work today. And so my goal is to try to have a town hall meeting, have as many of the new people attend as possible, have as many of the old timers attend as possible. Brent, are you listening?
Mike, I quit listening about 15 minutes.
And that's why
I asked.
And have as many of the old timers participate as possible as well, because really,
that's why you wanted your attention.
Old timer.
I mean, I can tell you from personal experience, I bought my lot almost 6 years ago now, and my wife will tell you, I spent countless hours online researching water systems off-grid, researching solar systems, researching septic systems, doing all this stuff. It's like, and I'm, in my mind, I'm trying to figure this out. I need to go figure out how I can live off-grid. And then finally, one day, the realization hit me. I don't have to figure it out. These people have already figured it out. I just need to talk to somebody that can answer my question. And so I want to provide a forum so the new people, you know, can get that direct one-on-one interaction and ask questions. Because, again, it's not the same solution for everybody. You know, one person may be able to drill a well and somebody else maybe not. You know, one person may be able to, you know, spend $10,000 on a solar system and somebody else may not. And so, you know, we want to just have as much interaction as possible to give, you know, information exchange, you know, and again, just, you know, the core concept is we're a family at Deer Springs Ranch. We want to help each other out. And one of the best ways to help each other out is just by sharing information. I can't tell you how much I've learned since I've become an owner from Joe. I mean, Joe has shared a ton of information with me. Brent has shared a ton of information with me. Others have as well. And that's just priceless. You know, I mean, think about how much it costs you to hire a consultant. You know, go hire a lawyer. You know, go hire an accountant. You know, go hire an off-grid living specialist. Well, we don't have to hire them. We've got them right here. So, again, just to, you know, put a bug in everybody's ear, you know, if you can be here for the July meeting, please do. And if you know others that would benefit from it, please share that information with them. Okay.
Excuse for me. Us people that need the guidance.
July? No, it's June. It's July. I'm sorry, June. Did I say July? I apologize.
I thought we changed it to June. July.
Okay. We did change it to July. I'm sorry. I'm getting old. What can I tell you? What's the actual date? Okay, July 9th.
Okay. Now it needs to go.
July 9th. Mark your calendars.
That's a Saturday regular meeting.
It is, and we sent it out via email to members.
/town hall.
Okay, July 9th, board meeting in the morning with a nice lunch, and then the town hall after. Okay.
Bring your checkbooks for the consultations.
Hire a lawyer, right? That's right, and my last name is spelled, no. I don't want anything. I just want to help. Okay, and I'm done, so we're going to turn it over to Mr. Jacobson.
But before right? that, I got something to say for...
You're interrupting me, Joe.
You're going to have to wait. In reference to the ponds being cleaned out by this big track hole, thanks to Phil Hall, he made arrangements to have it up at his place, and he let us split the cost of the delivery of the equipment. So we're saving quite a bit of money because of Phil Hall. Let us know that he had the equipment up here, and that's why the ponds are being cleaned out. So
we're piggybacking on Phil Hall. So thank you, Phil Hall.
So the ranch is saving some money because of Phil Hall. You can go ahead and go now, Kurt.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate that.
Okay, that's all I had. Thank you.
Before you go on, what are you doing with what's pulled out of the ponds? Is it just going to be stacked up there? And I ask the question because it's going to be smelly stuff.
Yeah. They're going to stick it in a ravine.
Put it over.
Did you
say
there's a ravine by your place?
Put it on lot 117 for Brent. He can straighten it out.
All right. I'll be getting with Bill Hall this afternoon. I'll be getting with Bill Hall this afternoon, and we'll be getting it organized. So.
That's fine. I didn't know what.
I really don't know. Yeah.
And stacking it around the pond is just when it rains and
fishing
and
stacking it around the pond is
not a good idea.
Defeating the purpose.
Thank you for asking.
I'll haul it out of there and dump it somewhere.
I just go downstream and plug everything up.
All right, so Kurt, I just want to hear it officially. You are done, nothing to add.
Done.
Okay. Cindy, moving on.
All right. Well, you did part of my job for me because, number one, I wanted to, in discussing volunteers, which is the area I'm responsible for, I wanted to give a special thanks to Sky Hill for all the work you're obviously doing on the signs. Really appreciate that. Also, I want to give a shout out one more time for Cindy and Kevin. They spent the winter here work camping. They worked their behinds off. I just got a message about what hours they worked, and they more than earned their RV slot over the winter especially. But the cabins were in great shape because of the hard work that they did all last year. So, again, Cindy and Kevin cannot
stand up. Stand up. Let people see who you are. Stand up. Yay!
All right. We currently have pardon? Good. We currently have, besides myself, two other work campers. We've got Pat. She's in that great big Class A. And Colin and Marilyn. Say hi to them if you see them around the ranch. They're putting in lots of hours and blood, sweat, and tears. Literally. I also wanted to thank Vance. I hope you're on the phone listening. Your work on the website and the signs has not gone unnoticed. Thank you again. And of course, Brent, for all that you do, because Brent does everything around here, including charging the dump truck.
I'll go double check.
I want to thank Joe and Candy for, I know it's kind of part of your role on the board, but it's really appreciated. The cabins that you are responsible for, just, they look lovely, and everybody appreciates the work and the time and effort that you put into it. Thank you, Candy.
Joe and Candy!
Joe and Candy!
Okay, the last thing I've got, and if anybody knows of any work campers, we have openings for September and October. It's a great time of year. The leaves are turning.
Is that the only time we have openings, September and October?
We can fit somebody else in July, especially a handyman or somebody that wants to work, you know, a little bit heavier stuff.
That's good.
For July and August.
That's great.
Yeah. And then we've got nobody scheduled so far for September and October, okay. So we really have a need for that. And I'm continuing to post advertisements. The last thing I have real quick. Oh, no, before I go, the website, it's going to take a little longer than we had anticipated to get a volunteer page up on the new website. And so in the meantime, if you know you're going to be up here, if you've looked around the ranch that, gee, I wish somebody would take care of that. Let me know. I would love to task you. I would love to give you whatever resources that you'll need to do a volunteer project around the ranch. The last thing is the post office. Tina and Jeff and some others have worked really hard to try to get us a post office. What was the one with all the cubicles? What's that? Cluster box down on Johnson Canyon, because that's as far as the post office is willing to go. And we got a lot of push. They got a lot of pushback. Oh, Brent was part of that too. A lot of pushback and a lot of mixed messages and conflicting messages. And so Kurt and I talked to the postmistress at Fredonia and said, what do you think about this? And she said that we should be entitled, because we have individual addresses, we should be entitled to a cluster box. So the postmistress that was at CNAB is now gone. So we're going to try to start over and see what
we're doing. Is what we need to do. The same people that are doing the fire abatement at that, on the Dixie Forest, I can't think of his name right now. I called him. He's going to get back to me. And it has to do with the base of how what their fire plan is for the ranch and how they recognize each individual lot. And if they recognize each individual lot, which is what he's working on, then our lot number can be our address, and then we have a right to have that cluster box, which was the original plan.
But we have to determine.
Suzanne shot down the cluster box idea. It came from her superior.
It's okay, because it's whatever that was. The guy with the forestry knew exactly what I was talking about. So, and we're not asking for postal service out here. All we're asking for is a cluster box.
And so if we have through the fire department, if we have legitimate,
if they recognize our addresses, then we should be able to get the cluster box.
911 address when it's in a rural area.
Exactly. So that's what the fire plan is.
Trying to get someone that actually has a 911 address.
Correct.
Yes, so we've got it. We've still got an avenue for trying to get that done. So we're still happening. It's still moving forward.
Just so you know, each cluster box is only 16 boxes, and each one is $2,000.
Okay.
Now, I got a question. Did Suzanne leave by choice, or was that not her?
No, they got fired because Lot 121 kept harassing.
Adam Gal, that's a friend of mine. She moved to West Virginia because the pay was twice as much as what she earned here for a far smaller territory.
Okay, so that's all I've got. Anybody have questions?
Any questions for Cindy? Okay, moving on. Mr. Joe Bose, do you have anything to add?
No, nope, I'm caught up.
Any questions for Joe?
I get it.
Okay.
Exercise. That's why I keep.
John Harris is not here, so we're on to Kathy Pierce. Kathy, anything you'd like to add?
Yes.
Put the keys for the dump truck in there, and that won't slide off.
There are no keys for the dump truck.
The lower cabins, they're doing good. They're all up and running, ready to go. They have been for a little bit, thanks to the polls. Appreciate you guys. There is a little bit of a concern over there in Johnny Brown on a road that and this is kind of for Larry, so I'm understanding he's on Zoom. So if you can respond, Larry, that would be awesome through text. When you go through Brinkerhoff, the S-curve, we have it is washing out really bad there. I don't know if Cindy would be able to even pull her trailer out there because it's washing out on both sides. And it's pretty bad. So I know in the fall we talked about trying to redirect that road. And Larry, you had mentioned maybe talking to Brinkerhoff's on a chapter 5 to work something out, and I was wondering if you'd ever had a chance to talk to him. Wait for a response.
I'm waiting.
Can you hear me?
He might be fishing.
He's online.
No, he's in Seattle. I thought you might be fishing.
Can you hear me?
He could be.
Yep, I can hear you, but they can't. Let me bring you over. Hang on. Going mobile. I will have this smoother by the next meeting.
All right, go ahead, Larry.
I think that we need to go ahead and get with Brinkerhoff, and now that we have more and more people living in the Podunk area, I think it's appropriate that we work on that access road, and I have not personally talked to them where that was John's area on roads, but I can get involved and see what we can get put together to that's a bad corner that needs to be eliminated, that S curve and the water line and culvert and everything needs to be redone. So to kind of answer your question, Kathy, yeah, I think it can be done. It may need to be a combination between us, Brinkerhoff, and also other properties that are accessible up through that same right of way.
Sorry, I had it on mute. I had it on you.
Me?
Oh. Yeah. Say, say it again.
Can you hear me?
Me?
No, I had my computer on you.
Really?
Okay. I said last fall we talked about the Chapter 5, and I couldn't remember if it was you or John saying that we'd need to talk to the Brinkerhoff so we could do work on private property. So, yeah, whatever I can do to help, let me know. I don't know if you have a connection with Brinkerhoff or not.
I do, and so when I get back tonight, we'll start working on that first of the week.
Okay. All right. That sounds great. I appreciate that.
Also, Larry, this is actually your time on the agenda, so do you have anything, Larry, that you'd like to address while you've got our attention?
I think most everything I had to report with Gravel Pit has already been gone over. The fish arrive on the 17th, which you already went over. When they clean out the ponds, any of those willows and stuff could be actually put just over the dam on each of the individual ponds, 1, 2, and 3, and then it'll help fill in that big erosion. It won't be a problem because we don't have flow. Nothing can wash or flood down through there. I think Kurt can kind of shepherd that along and be fine. But I don't have really anything else to add.
Okay, thank you, Larry. Appreciate it.
Okay, stand by. Avoid the echoes. All right. Thank you.
No echo. Echo.
Okay, well, that is the end of our official agenda. So now I'm going to open it up to everybody who is here, either in person or on Zoom, for any comments or questions. And if you do have any comments or questions, please stand up, approach the table, and talk into the mic.
Okay, now we're going to have the real meeting. You've been talking about a whole bunch of stuff that makes no difference. Henceforth and forevermore, because we have two Cindys. She is now Podunk Cindy on the radio. She is Crawford Cindy on the radio.
There we go.
Because
not to be confused with CC. She doesn't drink.
So anyway, that's the one point. You guys haven't talked about all the water issues that we got going on. What's the status on the water meter for the upper cabins? Jennifer?
Status on the water meter for the upper cabin, meaning the...
Well, we ordered a water meter. Do we have it yet?
Maybe not.
We ordered it.
Through Schultz's. We ordered a water meter.
Oh, is that the one that Kathy went to pick up?
No, we ordered a backflow preventer for the RV pads, and we ordered a meter for the upper cabins. I take it we haven't gotten
you one. And I did that. In March. April. Yeah.
I think there's some follow-up required here.
Yes. Backflow preventer, yes. Meter?
Meter, yeah. We ordered them the same time.
We ordered them the same time. It's an inch and a half meter water meter. We got a meter, the water we pump. And so... We only have one place we can install it where Jeff will be able to read it.
Okay.
Is it in your garage?
No. So what happened, Kurt, you went to Schultz's, talked to whatever his name was. I called back and said, whatever you have on hold is what we want. Kathy went and picked it up. I paid for it online.
It's just the black back.
No, the water meter we ordered on Amazon.
To be able to track it. Okay, I'll look and see.
Yeah, let's look and see, because I remember we talked about them both.
Okay.
It's in the cluster box.
I like that.
Excellent.
Okay.
You're going to fit in well.
All right. We'll figure that out.
Yes. Certainly we will.
We got the O-ring for the back bowl for
Christian is working on that and the valve. And he only works a couple days a week, and he's the only guy I can get a hold of.
Okay, all right. We have a leak on the backflow preventer out there on the.
We've got till June on that.
Those troughs.
Which is coming up.
The water troughs at Half Moon we're pumping. We've been pumping for about a month now. We're just pumping off of one panel. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to snag Vance's little pinger. And go over and ping and see how we're doing as far as water level goes. If we're doing okay there, then I'm going to wire in the second panel and increase the flow if we can do it. We needed to give it about a month to clear out the channels because that well hasn't been pumped in 20 years. So anyway, that's going on. The electrical build, Jeff and Tina, Kurt and I, we've poured the footings for the electrical building. And all we're waiting on is when Larry comes back and he has time to bring his crane out.
Make sure Larry's listening.
He actually dropped off.
The building. We got to do a little excavation over there. Once we set the building, I can run the wire, I can run the triplex up through the floor of that thing, and then we'll need some help moving the transformer. Step down transformer into there. At that point in time, then we can get a hold of John Miller and he can come out and do all the wiring stuff.
Right. Is that big track hole lift that building and put it in place?
It could, but you know.
That's 8 miles. You got to walk it at $200 an hour.
$200 an hour.
It's an awful long way.
Larry's got that one over in Slide that he might build.
I know, if they bring it down and it's not a big deal, but they just charge so much to unload it.
I can ask them.
We can get it done a whole lot.
I can find out.
Okay, Kurt and I were talking to the county grader operator, Dallas. And, of course, they went up in the forest and they ground down all the trees and there's a ton of debris on the ground. He told us we get the monsoons. That debris coming down, the washes, it's going to clog the culverts, right? Because they ground the trees down, and all that stuff sitting on the ground. And anyway, it's going to be, just expect that to happen, okay? Just so you know. And then Dallas also gave us a pretty good idea. We're going to experiment with it with my military truck and that 750-gallon tank. Dallas said that they do it in the county in a couple places where they just put a tank in the back of a dump truck, open the tank, and then let the water run out between the tailgate and the bed, and you can wet the road down, you know, for a little dust control. It doesn't matter to me a whole bunch, but there's a couple places that wouldn't hurt to do that.
Especially on the hills, like the one on the other side of the cabins and the one down past headquarters.
Yeah.
Where the gravel keeps going downhill, and it's got to be put back uphill. And if you put it back up a little bit, water stays better.
Okay. And then Jeff, now I'm swearing everyone here to secrecy because this cannot come out. We still have that cross connection out here in the well field. All right. I don't know how we'll have to come up with a plan to take care of that you know about. Okay. All right. Okay. We could have had this meeting. Okay.
Anybody else comment, Cindy?
Candy.
Candy, sorry. Candy. I was looking at Cindy.
I don't think Brett can hear me. Any idea about the plan for a completion for the electrical on the solar for the lower cabin? The reason why I'm asking is we are going to be looking for, if I understand, two electric generators. Is that something that we should be doing at this time? If we got a month or 2 months that we're working for a plan for completion, should we be looking for those for a good price? Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, Joe and I have done a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'd like to find out what the budget is for that, because I found a couple of them in Vegas, which probably should be also in San Francisco. With no amp draw, which would be good, I guess, for two cabins. Is that
correct? Well, Brent wanted to make sure that we did put in 40 cubic foot refrigerator.
Yeah, and Candy, you're no longer in charge of that refrigerator fine stuff.
It's a nice fridge.
Okay. That's one other issue of the cabin one. When you guys went in and cleaned cabin one, what was the refrigerator smell?
They were.
It wasn't that bad. It was a little less than last year.
Okay. Cabin one is a 2 and 3, no problem at all. Cabin one's always got that smell.
That propane smell.
And 4 picked it up at the end of the season last year.
It did?
Mm-hmm.
Even with the outside venting?
Okay. All right,
well, we can clean that.
Yeah, it's bad.
What I was wondering is if you guys were thinking about, we could jerry-rig. I have a 2,000-watt pure sine wave inverter. I will give the ranch. I have a charge controller. I will loan the ranch. We have 4 or 5 200-watt 12-volt solar panels just sitting in the container out there. That we took off the old system when we upgraded. We could wire those in. We could make a temporary solar electric for cabin one. The only thing we're going to need is the batteries and an electric fridge. I would recommend getting a 10 cubic foot fridge just for right now, and then we could put a bigger one in once I die.
Maybe there's a happy medium there between 10 and 40.
That's a big cabin for 10 cubic feet.
We keep having problems with cabin one's fridge because it's a pain in the it's
a pain.
Well, you have my support because my wife and I stayed in that cabin 2 or 3 years ago, and the fridge was the only bad thing about it. Yeah. It was terrible.
Anyway, so we have an option available. Unfortunately, I was going to say we could take that trailer up there, but we're having problems with the batteries in that trailer.
I think I got it fixed.
Okay, but thinking I fixed
it. But thinking isn't the solution.
Yeah, it's got to be fixed. Yeah. Right? You know,
I think we have a bad battery in there.
We can't afford to have the thing catch fire. So, anyway.
But you're only talking about a couple batteries to set up.
If we get a couple of 200 amp hour batteries,
right.
If we get a couple of 200 amp hour batteries, you can have the pure sine wave inverter. I will loan you my charge controller. We already have the solar panels. I will also donate the wiring to wire everything up. But we need a couple of batteries, at least 2 batteries. And all it can do is run the fridge. If people get in there and they start putting some octopus on there and try to run like 15 things, it's not going to work.
Well, Brent, as far as I'm concerned, that's a no-brainer. Joe's in charge of the upper cabin, so as long as you work with Joe and Candy and Joe says it's okay, it's fine by me.
Yeah, I think I was talking to Kurt, and he said he's going to take some of the refrigerators when we get the electric one from 7 and 8, am I correct, up to the upper cabin, which are available to be either propane or electric.
Right.
So we could actually take one of those up there, put it on a temporary solar small system,
right,
and not have to buy another refrigerator.
Well, we're still going to need to get refrigerators eventually because the consoles are going out. But Brent has, I think Brent's idea is really good. If we can set one up and on solar and buy a refrigerator now for it, eventually 3 and 4 are going to need, because 7 and 8 are slotted for 1 and 4. but three will eventually need a refrigerator too.
You know. So we're looking for three?
No, for right now, two.
Just two.
Just two.
Yeah. Brent, I went to Lowe's and Home Depot. Okay. Believe it or not, there was a like a 14 cubic foot refrigerator, ran on 5 amps. And there was an 18 cubic foot refrigerator and a 17.4, and they both ran on 0.9 amps. So we're actually better off with a little bigger one because of the amp draw is so low.
No one's ever going to convince me of that, Joe. I moved that 18 cubic foot into this cabin over here, and it was not fun.
Wait a minute. We moved it in there.
And the trim is still loose.
My point is if we're going to do it, let's just do it, and we can get rid of that fridge up there, and we can solve that problem at least temporarily.
Yeah, but so we found one at 17.4. Cubic feet, and it ran on 0.9, which is pretty good, obviously. And a couple of them ran at 1.5, but that was the lowest amperage draw.
Michael, do refrigerators float down ravines?
Yeah, well, this building here is from the BLM, and they have smaller doors. The doors up there are actually bigger. They'll actually take a bigger refrigerator. We can do it without Brent. You get him in the building, then he can wire it.
You need a big fridge in number one.
Yeah, you need at least.
You need a big fridge in number one.
22 people.
You should have at least 18. Same as you got in here.
Yeah.
But like I said, that was running 0.9.
Yeah.
Hey, okay.
You're what day we went 9 amps.
Less
than one.
The second Saturday is the 11th, and that's hard to fault.
Okay.
I thought that's what it was.
Okay, I think we'll table that for now. The refrigerator discussion.
The doors off, and we still didn't have enough room to get through the doorway.
But these doors are smaller than the ones up there.
Yeah, these are for the little dinky, like six.
Okay, so we are done with our official agenda. The Brent has already added to our agenda, which is nice. We really appreciate that. Does anybody else have any questions or comments before we adjourn? Jeff?
Where are the cattle now?
They're out in the grass.
In the meadow, by the cabins.
They're in the upper meadow, mostly.
By the ponds.
Well, I saw some yesterday.
2 days ago.
They're all in there. They hang out in the brush, and you won't even see them. Yeah, there's a bunch up there. There's a few.
Okay, any other
down over here.
Any other questions before we're done? Okay, so our next board meeting will be Saturday, June 11th. That's the second Saturday. That's our default. That's the normal date. And the following weekend is Father's Day. That's the Father's Day is on the 19th. So our next board meeting will be June 11th. And it will be here, weather permitting. Okay, I think we are done. Can we say, what?
I won't be here.
Candy.
Joe won't be here.
Candy, we going to be here on June 11th? No, we'll be out of state.
Good. About that.
Because I'll be with them playing golf.
Okay.
Well, if we need to change, I remember we talked about it. I just
changed it. That's why.
I know we talked about it. Jennifer.
I know we had talked about it, but I'm not going to be here the following week. So it's kind of a toss up on our
left. Yeah, that's what it was. They changed it, and you said you couldn't be there. Joe
and I thought somebody else couldn't be there.
Right.
On the 18th. So
Joe, you're going to be the only one gone on the 11th, I think.
I will. I'll be gone.
Oh, you're going to be gone too?
I have family trip. I'll be gone.
Well.
You were gone.
Yeah. Jack and I will both be someplace else.
On the 11th, I'm in Hawaii. But I can call in.
Yeah, you read the 11th. No,
we
didn't. Can we do it on the
4th? We did not. We brought it up and changed it for the third weekend. And then Cindy said she couldn't be there, and then I thought we were going to talk about it. So.
Can we do it on the 4th?
Cindy, you can't be there on the 18th.
Right.
And you two can't be there on the 11th.
Right.
How about the 4th?
Right
now, you're
tall. That's 3 weeks from now. We can do it.
You want to do June 4th? Does that impact anybody's plans here?
I'll still be gone. I'm gone from the 3rd to about the 12th.
Joe's still gone.
Well, Joe's
gone
when he gets here anyhow.
We will decide and let you know.
We do.
If we want to have as many participate as possible, it'll either be the 11th or the 18th. But okay. I personally would vote for the 11th because the 18th is Father's Day weekend. So
I'll go with the 11th.
Okay, we'll say it's the 11th unless we decide to change it. Okay, we are adjourned.